As we come to the book of Exodus, chapter 29, and these first 22 verses here in this chapter, we get a clear picture of the ordination of the priests, the Levites. And the significance of this ordination will not be lost on us today as we turn our attention to this amazing passage. Hi there. Welcome to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon, who will take us back to Exodus for a look at this ordination, what it means, why is there an ordination to begin with, and how does it relate to you and I today? How are we to view those who've been ordained to ministry? These are questions we're answering today and tomorrow. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon now with today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
I've titled the message tonight, Ordained by God, to think a little bit about ordination and how important this was in Old Testament Israel, Old Covenant, what ordination meant, what it looked forward to, what it anticipated with Christ, and now what it means for us. And so that's sort of the structure that I'm following tonight as we consider just the first 22 verses of Exodus chapter 29. This is the word of the Lord, Exodus chapter 29. Now this is what you shall do to them to consecrate them, that they may serve me as priests. Take one bull of the herd and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers smeared with oil. You shall make them of fine wheat flour. You shall put them in one basket and bring them in the basket, and bring the bull and the two rams. You shall bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Then you shall take the garments and put on Aaron the coat and the robe of the ephod and the breastpiece, and gird him with the skillfully woven band of the ephod. You shall set the turban on his head and put the whole crown on the turban. You shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. Then you shall bring his sons and put coats on them. And you shall gird Aaron and his sons with sashes and bind caps on them. And the priesthood shall be theirs by a statute forever. Thus you shall ordain Aaron and his sons. There it is. Then you shall bring the bull before the tent of meeting. Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on the head of the bull. Then you shall kill the bull before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and you shall take part of the blood of the bull and put it on the horns of the altar with your finger, and the rest of the blood you shall pour out at the base of the altar. And you shall take all of the fat that covers the entrails and the long lobe of the liver and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them and burn them on the altar. But the flesh of the bull and its skin and its dung you shall burn with fire outside the camp. It is a sin offering. Then you shall take one of the rams, and Aaron and his son shall lay their hands on the head of the ram, and you shall kill the ram, and shall take its blood and throw it against the sides of the altar. Then you shall cut the ram in pieces and wash its entrails and its legs and put them with its pieces and its head and burn the whole ram on the altar. It's a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. You shall take another ram, and Aaron and his son shall lay their hands on the head of the ram, and you shall kill the ram and take part of its blood and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron and on the tips of the right ears of his sons and on the thumbs of their right hands and on the great toes of their right feet and throw the rest of the blood against the sides of the altar. Then you shall take part of the blood that is on the altar and of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and his garments and on his sons and his sons' garments with him. He and his garments shall be holy, and his sons and his sons' garments with him. We'll end the reading of God's word there tonight. Well, tonight, I've already made the case is about the ordination of the priests in here, the Old Covenant. And ultimately, we're going to see tonight, the goal of this is to see how all of this takes us to our true high priest. That is always the intention the author of the book of Hebrews wanted to do with these things in the Old Testament, to explain many of these ceremonies and show us how they all were fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to begin tonight just for a moment thinking a little bit about ordination. We'll have here in some time early January a service of where we will lay hands on elders and deacons. And you've seen this when pastors are ordained to the ministry. I'm not sure that's as appreciated anymore as it used to be. It's such an important thing that goes on, and yet I don't know that we take it as seriously as we should. Ordination. Think about that word, ordination. We live in a day when whoever feels moved to do ministry goes ahead and does it. And who are we to question anyone who says, I feel like I should be in the ministry? I have many friends who aspired to be pastors. And I remember along the way, some of them wanted to go and to be a pastor, but they never wanted to have training. They thought about just doing some online courses. They were always looking for the easy way out when it came to the ministry. And I would always challenge them, because why would you not want to receive training? This is exactly what we've always done in the church. We've set apart men to be trained, properly trained, and recognized with an internal and an external call, especially because the job of the pastor is so important to rightly divide the word of truth. That's hard work. This whole process of consecration, this whole process of setting apart someone, this whole process of recognizing men to serve is really important, and we see that all the way here back in the Old Testament, don't we? Who is called by God? Think about that. Called by God. Have we lost a sense of the separateness of these offices, the importance of what the Lord has done in these offices of the church? Or how are we used to now? I remember attending a pastor's gathering at one point, and a colleague and I were sitting there, and we looked around. It was at a local Christian school, and we looked at all the pastors who were represented, and I saw one with a mohawk. And I saw one just covered with all sorts of terrible things. And I thought, what does this office mean anymore to people? Do we represent it rightly? William Perkins, known as the father of Elizabethan Puritanism, used to say that a true preacher, a faithful preacher, is one in a thousand. That was in his day. The damage that this all causes is huge, and we see it that it was no different in Israel's history when they stopped listening to the Lord and raising up their own prophets and their own priests and doing things of their own message. It was a disaster in Israel, wasn't it? The prophets prophesy lies, the priests rule by their own authority, and my people love it so. Israel was overturned by false prophets, false priests doing the ministry. We desperately need to realize that, and their messages were nothing like Jesus's this morning. Their messages were always peace, peace when there is no peace. We can study that line all throughout the prophets who railed against these messages that didn't call people to repentance and let them just stay and be and do what they wanted to do. Well, we're desperately in need in our times to return to an understanding of how weighty ordination is. Just what it requires, what it means, and what Christ said when he challenges us to specifically recognize that he does the sending, and that we should be praying a lot more that the Lord raises up sent ones to go out into the harvest. For the fields are white for the harvest. Not everyone's sent. Well, that sort of leads us tonight to think about the process of ordination here, where it began. We see it early beginnings of it here in Exodus, and what it all foreshadowed, and that's what we're going to do tonight. Remember where we left off last time in Exodus chapter 28, where we studied some detail, the garments of the priests, what they had to wear. What a interesting study for me that was. Holy garments, beautiful garments, speaking of their holiness and their separateness. They were to reflect the glory of God in some way. They were to embody the tabernacle itself. They looked like the tabernacle. The clothing they put on was just beautiful. Remember, God had commanded an ephod. Remember that? Remember how special some of that stuff was to study? On two stones were engraved the names of the children of Israel. And when these priests would go there and minister on behalf of the people, they were symbolically represented as bearing up and carrying the people to God. Carrying the burdens of the people. Carrying, remember, even their sins and making atonement for the sins of the people. As a breastplate was over their chest. And again, the names of the children of Israel were right there on their chest. And remember how many times last time it said, keep that close to your heart, priests, because these people are close to my heart. And the priest would carry those burdens of the people and the sins of the people close to his heart. He would discern the will of God through the Urim and the Thummim. On his head would be a turban that said, holiness to the Lord. All the way down to the undergarments, remember? They were decked out, as it was described here, in beauty, in glory, and in holiness. Those were the words that are used to describe them in their dress. And we studied last time how all of that somehow pointed ahead and spoke to Christ's priestly work for us. Well, now we have the grand description of the ordination, how it's supposed to go. And maybe you've always been confused about that, boys and girls. You see us lay hands on people. What in the world are those guys doing up there? Where does that stuff come from? Paul said that in the New Testament. He referenced laying on of hands. This is all taken from this understanding of ordination. And so notice we have some pretty detailed instructions here, don't we, tonight, beginning in verse 1, you'll notice that this is what you shall do to them to consecrate them, that they may serve me as priests. So from here we learn that the Lord wanted Moses to take one bull and two rams without blemish, unleavened bread, unleavened cakes, unleavened wafers with oil, and put these things in a basket, bringing the bulls and the rams. So Moses was to take Aaron and his sons right to, we've studied the structure now, we've studied the rooms, right to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. You'll notice that. Now, from here, it's really not difficult what was described to explain. He describes four things that took place. The first thing that he does is, you'll notice in verse 4, the first thing he told Moses to do was to address the issue of washing. I want you to bring Aaron and his sons, and I want you to bring them right to the door of the meeting, and I want you to wash them with water. Give them a giant bubble bath right in front of the tabernacle of meeting. Head to toe, you scrub them. Don't think about that with ordination, do you? Nobody ever did that to me. Scrub them. I want all the dirt washed off their bodies. And the whole thing was communicating some kind of need for purification, right? It was a kind of ceremonial baptism, wasn't it? I'm going to mention baptism, but I don't want you to transfer the Christian understanding of baptism into this. What do I mean by that? The Jews were very accustomed to baptisms, washings. And even in Christ's day, when John the Baptist called the Jews to be baptized, it ignited a fury because baptism was for filthy Gentiles, right? It ignited the fury over this. The Jews, by being Jews, were considered clean. The question they should have been asking is, well, were they? The priests had to be washed. First signal here that something might not be real great with this priesthood. First signal. They needed to be washed, and so this giant washing happened right outside the tent. Next, they were robed. You'll notice this in verse 5. You shall take the garments and put on Aaron the coat and the robe, the ephod and the breastpiece, and gird him with the skillfully woven band of the ephod, and you shall set the turban on his head and put the holy crown on the turban. What a scene. So they washed the naked body of the priests, and then in a moment of what they called investiture, Moses put carefully on them the garments. so beautiful, so radiant. Holiness. Remember, imagine Moses taking this turban and setting it right on the priest. Holiness to the Lord. What a moment, huh? Decked out now, these guys are. Decked out in glorious dress. Holy, righteous. And now they had to minister on behalf of the people. What's next? You'll notice here in verse 7, it's anointing. In verse 7, he says, you shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. Then you shall bring his sons and put coats on them, and you shall gird Aaron and his sons with sashes and bind caps on them. I want you to anoint them with oil. And notice what it says. The priesthood shall be theirs by a statute, verse 9, forever. Thus you shall ordain Aaron and his sons. Probably always been confused about anointing oil. And here we have it referenced in the setting apart of the priests, where oil was being put on them. And it was always a symbolic act of there somebody being consecrated and set apart in the service of the Lord in that particular capacity that was being defined. Here it's the priesthood. So they would take oil and they would dump it over their heads, and it would drip down. Think of the psalm when it describes the unity of the brethren. It says it's like the oil dripping down off the beard of Aaron. They must have had big manly beards, by the way. Oil running down the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. What did it symbolize? Well, you have a man set apart as holy, and the oil of God is going on him, anointed to that office. He's being anointed. It's anointing. It's the anointing. Often associated, you know, with who? The Holy Spirit. God anointing this man for his service. What a beautiful scene. Pastors think about their ordination services, and it wasn't quite as glorious as this. We made vows. That was very important, wasn't it? There was a beautiful thing when all of these servants come up and they put their hands on you, symbolizing this one is anointed and set apart. Set apart by God. It's a weighty thing. I had to think a lot about that. Think about that for a minute. The weight of that. It was really exciting. The excitement that happened. I just look back to mine years ago. The excitement that happened. Everyone's excited. It's just a joyful day. The Lord had set apart and given servants to serve. Decked out in the most, you know, here in their particular situation, decked out in the most glorious dress, oil on them. They smell great. They look great. All is well, right? Well, not so fast. What happens next? I want you to ponder this one for a minute. Three sacrifices are now commanded. First is the sin offering. God tells Moses to bring the bull to the tent of meeting. Aaron and his sons were to lay hands on its head. And the sin offering taught something all of Israel, didn't it? It taught these something, and here particularly at their ordination, this is not so much dealing with the sins of the people. Uh-oh, we're dealing now with the sins of the priests, aren't we? Now, I'll come back to Hebrews on that, which makes this a very strong point. But they symbolically communicated when they laid their hands on the bull, it signified a transference, didn't it? And the sins of Aaron and his sons were laid on the bull. The teaching was that Aaron and his sons were sinners. The rest of the unclean part of the bull's body was taken out the camp and burned. You'll notice that in verse 14. And then you add these two rams that were given. The first is a whole burnt offering. They laid their hands on the ram in this burnt offering that signified the whole consecration of their lives to the Lord. Dedication to him. And in the second ram, the third sacrifice, again, hands are on the head following the whole burnt offering, and it spoke of their sanctification. It spoke of their separateness as priests. But here's what I want you to think about for a minute in this last sacrifice. They're washed, they're clean, they're beautiful, oil, anointing oil. Think of what happens here. All of a sudden, keep in mind, from the first two sacrifices, blood is being cast on the altar, blood's everywhere. In verse 20, God commands them, I want you to take some blood, and I want you to put it on Aaron's right ear, and on his right thumb, and his son's, and notice that, on the big toe of their right foot. What in the world is that? That's just odd, isn't it? And then I want you to take the blood and start sprinkling it everywhere. Remember, this dress is awesome dress. This is beautiful clothing. Somebody had worked a long time to skillfully weave and make all this clothing. From head to toe, notice here, now blood is starting to go on them. Then notice verse 21. And you shall take some of the blood that is on the altar and some of the anointing oil, and here we go, and sprinkle it all over them. That is a remarkable moment. Sprinkle the blood on Aaron and on these beautiful garments. And on his sons and on his sons' garments with him. He and his garments shall be holy, and his sons' garments with him. He just took blood on these beautiful garments and had it splattered, all sprinkled on the garments. What a sight, isn't it? Think about blood everywhere. Teaching, of course, and you should know by now as we look at the entire Bible and put this together, is that blood is always what makes for atonement, doesn't it? There was always the teaching that the high priest had to make atonement for sins because he was a sinner. And that's the important point here, is that the Lord is here declaring a problem with this priesthood. And the problem with the priesthood is the priests are sinners. And I, as I was reflecting on this, I realized something very important was just communicated to Israel, that they should have stopped and said, that's a big problem. God never wanted Israel, this is so important for the history of the church, this point, I believe it is. God never wanted the people to think that it was through the personal holiness of the priests that their lives were blessed by God.
Oh, that is a problem today, isn't it? There is a blessing, but it only comes from one place. The same place forgiveness of sin comes from, right? And this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Well, in closing our time together today, I'm reminded of other resource materials we have available at our website that would complement what we've heard today. agradio.org is a great place to go if you would like to know more about us and take advantage of other resource materials we have there. And if you have a question that you would like to address Pastor Chris with, maybe today's broadcast has sparked a thought or two, a question, please, by all means, send it off to us. Now, you can either email that to us through our website, agradio.org, or better yet, voice it through your voice memo app. Record your question, your name, and where you're calling from, and then send that to questions@agradio.org. That's questions@agradio.org. You're also welcome to reach us by phone. The number is 888-504-8805. Abounding Grace Radio is also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can visit our website for links to the platform that you prefer to follow. One final note as we close out our program today, we are listener-supported, which means friends of the ministry come alongside and partner with us financially and prayerfully, ensuring that this program continues right here on this radio station. You see, we look to friends like you to help ensure that this broadcast continues to spread the gospel of grace wherever we're at. If you would like to be a part of that, a small gift, large gift, one time or an ongoing monthly gift, we'd love to hear from you. agradio.org. You can give securely online, 888-504-8805, or write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.